The thing that I wonder also is if we actually dealt with adequately the issue of seeking, knocking, and asking in prayer. Seek, knock, and ask. And in our mission, most of you that have been around in the mission know that when we are in a group together and we have attained a harmony among ourselves and we have attained a unification of spirit among ourselves, that we always affirm that if we open at that point and ask for a channeling of power to come through us, that in the world, wherever there is a knocking, a seeking, or an asking, that they will receive. And the reason for that is that we know that the method by which the power is brought down to move into the horizontal plane is through the openness of channels who have set themselves under the direction of the plane of existence that is above us. I wonder how many of you have really taken that reality in, and how many of you really believe that, and how many of you understand that the whole reason for the creation of ourselves as physical bodies, that the whole interaction with the physical environment, which really makes us face the issue of authority, is to lift us to another dimension, to make us realize that there is a consciousness above us that is as real as we are real to plants and animals. That we have access to knowledge and to awareness that the plants do not have. And yet we coexist with them. We also have a range of mobility, not only mentally, but physically, that no plant has. Even animals do not have that range. And that above us, there is a range of consciousness that has a mobility and a power that is to us as the power and the mobility that we have to plants and animals. Now, obviously, the thing that makes that reality true is the instrument being able to register it. The reality of a symphony playing in my living room is not accessible to a plant because the plant does not have the instrument to register it. It doesn't mean it isn't playing. The limitation is the plant. So what we do is we limit that dimension by the instruments and the non-expansion of the instrument and the keeping of the instrument limited to the mental plane. Now, obviously, unless we open and have access to that dimension, we have no experience of it and therefore no conviction of it. And the whole issue of the training is the lifting of the creature to that expansion, to that lifting of the limitation that keeps us from the accessibility of that dimension. And we then are not instruments of that dimension to have them operate in a way that they cannot operate without the instrument. Is that clear? That is absolutely essential because that is the development that we have to attain, and that is our mission. Anything less than that will never bring this planet to the place where it must go now in order to be saved. And there is something in each of you that knows that now we have to make that development. We have to make that expansion. We have to make that next step in evolution, or the planet is doomed. Because on a horizontal plane, we have done everything that we can do except blow it. And they will blow that. Now, what our mission is, not only to master that, to be that, but to go out and invite more and more and more to participate. So the way, the discipline is the total adoption of that as the total mode of life. It is a total lifestyle. And we have the sequence very clearly mapped. First, we have to cleanse the instrument. That makes sense? And cleansing the instrument lifts our limitations of feeling that life is getting married, having children, having a house, accumulating possessions, getting power and dominating other people with greed, and dying. That is the general life of everybody. And if you read history, or even the history of the Bible, which we've all been through together now, the Old Testament history, it is exactly that. Practically nobody bypassed the temptation. They're born, they get married, they have children, they have a house, they accumulate a few possessions, they dominate their fellow man, they gain power, and they die. Over and over and over again. Now, the call of the way is, you have all of that, but that is not what it is. Your job here is to emancipate yourself from the restriction of one level of consciousness. And it is a discipline. It is definitely a discipline. First of all, we aren't interested if we do not begin to see the beauty of it. And if we do not see that it is a reality that is as much more beautiful to what we ordinarily see as beauty as beauty is to chaos and ugliness that we know with the mind exists in the field of aesthetics. So there is a discipline. And finally, the reality of the true discipline is when we practice meditation. Meditation and prayer, and particularly the higher ranges of prayer. There are the three levels of prayer. And the first level is purgation. The readying of the instrument, the getting the instrument outside of its preoccupations, outside of its fears, outside of its emotional traumas, outside of its pains and its angers and its lusts and its greeds and its desire for establishing itself in the world as something that is important. The next is proficiency. And proficiency would be the mastery of the knowledge that we talk about together. There is a long history behind us that has already been undertaken by human generations who little by little, increment by increment, have perfected the knowledge of the way. And the basic thing of proficiency is that we get beyond the blame that we place on each other for anything that has ever happened, the resentment that we have to each other for things that people have done, or the anger and frustration that people cause us because they don't do what we think they should. And the total release of the libido, the life force of the creature, to really be expressive, to be free and expressive. And the mastery means to set oneself under authority. That is why we choose a teacher. Now, Jesus is a good teacher because he is a non-existent personality. And even if he was not perfect, what we have done is to project perfection. And if we cannot release to the symbol of perfection in human personality, we are certainly not going to release to each other, whom we judge all the time to be totally imperfect. So that the value of choosing a symbolic personality that is the symbol of perfect personality is that I can release to that. And having released to that, I have the experience of release, and I can know whether I am or am not released to her. So proficiency is the mastery of that the horizontal plane is fluid, There is no stoppage, either from you to me and something coming up in me, or from me to you, where I will not relate to you for some judgment that I have of you where I don't care to relate. So it seems to me proficiency has to be mastered. When you have mastered proficiency and you have mastered the teaching intellectually sufficiently, you are ready for true meditation. And true meditation starts with what's called the prayer of quiet, which is stilling of the will by acts of the will. The stilling of the will by acts of the will. And in that emptiness, and in that stillness, there is a dimension experienced which is not accessible unless the discipline is undergone. So if you really want it, you can have it, but you have to work for it, which makes sense, does it not? It makes sense. And then when you finally practice the prayer of quiet, they tell you something interesting, which is, don't expect anything, because just the expecting is the self-assertion of the will wanting something which violates it. So they say, do it, but don't expect anything. If you get something, it will be the grace of God and be thankful, but he may choose not to give it to you. See, that erases all possibility of that aggressiveness that the self has. I want. I must have it. And lots of times you hear people say, I want it. I want spiritual reality. I want the truth. I want the life. I want the spirit. And you usually say, uh-oh, that is really too bad. But at certain levels, you can't say that. See, because what we're talking about right now is at a later stage. But it's fair to cover the stage. And that is what is called contemplation. And it is the true function of man. The goal of man is to contemplate God. It seems sort of useless, doesn't it? Useless. I've undergone the discipline, and I can remember in the beginning, when I first undertook it, I used to sit there and think, now, this is a waste of time. There are so many things to do. There is so much to be accomplished. And it wasn't too long before I realized that I could not bear to surrender the decision about what I was going to do with the time. Oh, you find out such interesting things about yourself. You know, because we are very self-assertive. But all of the disciplines, including Zen, are really the discipline of how to be still. And even just holding the body still is a discipline. So if you're used to gesturing a lot, try it. And there are people who cannot really talk this way. They feel like something dreadful has occurred if their hands are still and they're not waving them incessantly. So it's a very interesting discipline. Now, the most important thing in the instruction on prayer is that you persist. And there are some interesting little parables that are at another point in the book that I think should be brought in. They are parables on importunity on prayer. The word importunity is new to us sometimes, and it means persistence. Never, never, never give up. Because the other thing that prayer is a fusion of the layerings of the mind. We have layerings in the mind. It stands to reason. When we were very primitive, we integrated totally with the nature, and there was no sense of separation from nature. Animals and plants do that. They are totally integrated with the nature. As we got more mental, as we got more knowledgeable, we moved farther and farther and farther away from that integration with nature. And we are alienated from nature. Now we have to study, we have to be informed in order to survive. and everything about a human being is totally educated and totally conditioned. His bowels, his bladder, his tongue, his breathing, his shavenness, his cleanliness, his hair, his clipped fingernails. There is nothing natural about us. Everything is totally, totally conditioned. And then the culture where we were raised, even more so, he eats with chopsticks, we eat with forks and knives, you know. It's very culturally conditioned, so that we have to persist in moving through the surface layering, which is very superficial, the one quarter conscious that we have, moving through that down, down, down through the layers of the subconscious into the unconscious mind, into the structure of the mind. The power in ourselves is not in our surface mind. The power in ourselves is in our subconscious mind. And when that subconscious mind is accessible again, then we penetrate. It is a penetrating instrument. The subconscious mind. It is also a registering instrument. It registers reality that the surface mind does not register. So that is also the discipline of prayer, the fusion of the structure of the mind, so that you have the whole power accessible. And that is done with importunity, meaning you cannot give up. And the results come from persistence. So that these two parables are very charming and quaint. I don't know whether you know them. The story is of a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came to him and persisted and persisted and persisted that he do her justice. And he didn't want to, and he didn't want to. And then finally he said, "She is bothering me so much, she's going to get it." Now, do you not do that too? There is a law. There is a law. There is a law. There are very few people that are like that. But those that are like that, if they are persistent, they get it. And that is why it is so important for us to ask ourselves, really, what do you want? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we do, in the work, ask ourselves, what are your goals? What do you really want? And the way says that you cannot have anything that you want or anything that is above your desire for God. God has to come first. The first commandment comes first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the other little parable that is here is connected with the with a friend who comes at night and wants three loaves because he has company that came. And it says that even though he's in his bed already at night and his children are already asleep in his house with him, knocking at the door and the bothering, he has to get up and give the woman the three loaves because she is so persistent. Now, the thing that is interesting is how we will remember the parables. We remember the little stories. They have come down 2,000 years to us, where an abstraction is not remembered. These are so absurd, both of the little parables are so absurd, that you remember them. And the issue is persistence. You cannot pray sporadically. You cannot practice piano sporadically. You cannot ski sporadically. You cannot dance sporadically. If you have a discipline and you're going to be excellent, you have to continue and continue and continue. You have to get so that the discipline is intuitive. It is second nature. All of the organism is geared into it so that every atom of your being is responsive and knowledgeable and intuitively perceptive. So prayer isn't something you do when you get in trouble. And if you're troubled, you pray more. I have often thought and wondered how the Kabbalah came about. You know, Kabbalah is the Jewish mystical tradition, and is a very, very difficult tradition to understand, because what Kabbalah does is take the numbers and the letters of the alphabet and equate them and give them meanings. Now, the meanings are not intellectual meanings. They are meanings that communicate actualities. And they communicate actualities that are from God. And they are called emanations. And you think, now, who in the world sat where, how many hours and days and nights, and pondered all of that and came up with all of that? And you know that when things get very, very rough, or you are persecuted, or people are after you, or there are intolerable situations, really more than people can bear, that you immediately retire into that kind of knowledge that is available. The knowledge of something beyond, something more, something beyond the human dimension and the human power and the human realization of what I can do. So it's only natural that a persecuted people would be more obsessed with the more and come up with more knowledge, and that their being would be more concentrated there. You're not persecuted enough, are you? No, not really. I think if we were honest, we would simply say that we turn to prayer when we're desperate, and as soon as everything gets fine again, we forget prayer and say to God, you know, fine, you did fine, now I'm on my own again. The discipline, when you undertake the discipline of the stilling of the will by acts of the will, you take a mantra of a word, just a one word by which the mind gets preoccupied. See, like if you close your eyes and begin to focus here on your forehead and begin to attain a horizontal plane with no ideation, you can start holding the mind by just pounding with the word God, 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 God at the same time you hold horizontally. God, 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 or you can go love, 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 love. Now you do this to yourself silently, you don't say it, see? But by that persistent pounding, holding the mind with the one word, you can begin to hold the plane of stillness. Then eventually you can release the word, drop the word, and hold the plane of stillness. So that would be the same as a mantra. Now, I do really believe that everybody can do it and that everybody is created to attain that state. The only reason they do not, one, they do not know it exists and that a way exists to it, and two, that people aren't interested. That's the only reason. So it's a very important thing to communicate that it does actually exist.